This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The God who gave us life gave us liberty, declared Thomas Jefferson. That phrase is described on the Jefferson Memorial in our nation's capital. He said, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. That was Thomas Jefferson, friends. He linked liberty with life. In fact, the meaning of the word liberty has no meaning whatsoever without life, because liberty is predicated on life. But what if we are able and willing to risk life in the name of liberty? Now, that presents a conundrum, doesn't it? Choosing abortion in the name of liberty, when the God who gave us life gave us liberty, and liberty is predicated on life? Something's wrong with the picture, isn't it, as we talk about abortion? Ever since 1973 and Roe versus Wade, over 65 million of America's babies have been, well, what term would you use? Killed? Exterminated? Executed? Sacrificed? Offered up to Moloch? What term would you use to best describe what's happened to those 65 million babies since Roe versus Wade? Now, during Trump's earlier administration, he was able to appoint three Supreme Court justices that, as a result, were able to overturn Roe versus Wade, that almost every legal authority knew had been inappropriately set by the Supreme Court in 1973 because there was no legal foundation for it. They just made it up out of all whole cloth. But that became the law of the land until just a few years ago. Then when Donald Trump left office, he was replaced by Joseph Biden. Joseph Biden's attitude was, we need to advance the cause of abortion. Abortion needs to be made more readily available, more applicable, without any restrictions whatsoever. And that has become the platform of the Democrat Party. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look, an interesting look, at this whole picture of abortion as it sits right now in our midst. Not only are we going to take a look at it from the standpoint of politics, we're going to take a look at it from the standpoint of, well, just life in general and the discussion of liberty. We're also going to be talking with one of the defendants that just returned this last week from Nashville, where sentencing was given for convictions for, well, standing there at an abortion clinic, trying to encourage ladies not to kill their children. He's going to be joining us. In fact, he's on the air listening to us even as we speak today, a longtime friend of mine. And what you hear today is going to touch your heart. I believe it will. So stay tuned, friends. You're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction talk that transforms. Remember, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. Well, interestingly, I have in my hands the 2024 GOP platform, Make America Great Again. For the first time in a very long time, the GOP platform for the 2024 election does not contain anything about abortion. Why is that? Well, it's because Donald J. Trump has come to the conviction that since Roe versus Wade has been overturned, this issue must be left to the states. Must be left to the states. So, he was addressing a Christian organization, a group that calls for abortion to be eradicated entirely. Here he is, the presumptive Republican nominee, taking on the issue that Democrats want to make the focus, the premier focus of this presidential election. That's the only issue they really have to go on. He was scheduled to speak at an event hosted by the Danbury Institute in conjunction with the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in June. Trump had been very clear that he supported the rights of the states to determine the laws on this issue and supported the three exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. The Danbury Institute, an association of churches, Christians, and organizations, says on its website it believes that the greatest atrocity facing our generation today is the practice of abortion and must be ended, very much like William Wilberforce, back in the days of not-so-jolly old England, said that slavery was the number one issue confronting that generation. The group said, "We will not rest until this is eradicated, abortion is eradicated entirely." Trump repeatedly has taken credit for the overturning of federally guaranteed right to abortion, having nominated three of the justices who overturned Roe versus Wade, but has resisted supporting a national abortion ban and says he wants to leave the issue to the states. In other words, the voice of the people. Both the Southern Baptists and Republicans at large are split on abortion politics, though, with some calling for immediate, complete abortion bans and others more open to incremental tactics. Abortion rights groups have won several statewide votes since Roe versus Wade was overturned, including somewhat conservative-led states like Kansas and Ohio. Many Southern Baptists say they see him, that is Trump, as the only alternative to a Democrat agenda that they abhor. A spokesperson for the Danbury Institute said the presidential race was a binary choice and said that Trump has demonstrated a willingness to protect the value of life when politically unpopular. Democrats and Joe Biden's campaign have tried to tie Trump to the most conservative state-level bans on abortion. A spokesman for Biden's campaign said Trump, if given the chance, will sign a national abortion ban, and these are the stakes this November. In other words, abortion is the issue. It's not immigration, at least not from the standpoint of the Democrat Party or Joseph Biden. It's abortion. Abortion was the issue also with Mr. Obama. When he was elected, he promised to advance the cause of abortion and homosexuality, which he did starting with day one. So that sets the stage, friends, for our conversation, the balance of the program here today on Viewpoint. The question is, are we under a curse in America? Would it be the abortion curse? It seems that the attitudes for life are diminishing in this country, not accelerating, notwithstanding what happened with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And we'll share that with you when we get back from this upcoming break. It seems that the pursuit of happiness is prevailing over the pursuit of holiness, and hedonism is reigning supreme in America. That's according to a new study, a new poll. Abortion access for any reason gaining support in America. Stay tuned, friends. I'll share that with you, and then we'll be met with Denny Green, who is going to join us after having returned from Nashville, having been convicted and then sentenced. What does he have to say, and what did he say to the judge?
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. Our viewpoint concerning the issue of killing of our children will determine destiny. It's not only determining the destiny of over 65 million of our young people since 1973 alone, but it's also potentially determining the destiny of the whole nation. Could it be that America's under a curse from the God who gave us life and through that gave us liberty at the same time? Maybe we haven't thought about it that way. Maybe it's because we've abandoned the fear of the Lord in the land. from the church house to the White House to the schoolhouse and the courthouse, when the fear of the Lord goes bye-bye, then we feel free to do whatever we want, even the killing of our young. A growing number of Americans support access to abortion now for any reason, according to a new poll from the Associated Press. The survey, which was conducted last month, found that most Americans, 61%, support their state allowing legal access to abortion, quote, if the person does not want to be pregnant for any reason. In other words, not for the life of the mother, not because of rape or incest, but just if the person doesn't want to be pregnant for any reason. 70% of Americans said abortion should be legal in most or all cases. Think about that. Now, here's the trajectory. A previous poll from the same month in 2021 found that just under 49% supported access to abortion for any reason. In June of 2023, 2 years later, right after the Supreme Court's landmark decision, 54% supported access to abortion for any reason. Now that number is 61%. You see the trajectory? It's not against abortion. It's for freewheeling abortion because I want to. Support for abortion has increased among Republicans by 11%, by 14% among Democrats, and by 11% among independents since 2021 alone in the last 3 years. All that having been said, friends, that's the groundwork for today, as we're joined by Denny Green, who is a long-term, dedicated Christian father and husband, and one who has dedicated his life also to protect our country and our young from the curse of abortion. And he's joining us here today on Viewpoint. Denny, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Speak up real loud, Denny.
All right.
There you go. There you go. We got to hear what you have to say, man.
Sure.
Because you spoke before, the judge there last week, and you were there already having been convicted together with a number of other folk. How many there had been convicted of the FACE offense?
There was six of us there for sentencing who had been convicted of the FACE offense plus conspiracy. We have four more yet to be sentenced who are only convicted of the FACE offense.
Okay, and when we use the term FACE, it's an acronym for what?
Freedom to Access Clinic Entrances Act.
Which is sort of the opposite, in a way. Whenever they name these kinds of acts, they're about restricting liberty rather than promoting liberty. But what did that act supposedly do?
Well, it came about in 1994, I believe, under the Clinton administration,
mm-hmm.
when there were many, many, the world would call them protests, but rescues going on, where mm-hmm. Christians in the thousands were going to abortion clinics and peacefully and prayerfully sitting down at the doors and just saying, not today. And the abortion clinics were closing. Some closed permanently, many of them closed for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there were actually more arrests during the time of the rescue movement than by far than the civil rights movement, though you don't really hear much about it.
Why is that true? Why do you say that's true?
Well, I would say one thing, the press is not going to give you good coverage. If they're the liberal press, which are
right.
pro-abort, and they always gave bad coverage or no coverage at all. If there's advancements, you know, the kingdom of God making advancements.
So why would Congress pass an act, the FACE Act, to protect from anyone demonstrating at an abortion clinic, however peacefully that it was, when they wouldn't do the same thing to prevent Antifa from ravaging through towns, burning cars, throwing stones in buildings, and creating mayhem?
Right. Justice doesn't come into the picture. It's all politics. And, you know, our government at the time was leaning toward, you know, a pro-abortion stance. You
mm-hmm.
know, FACE would not have been passed without the support of the Republicans. Neither would Roe v. Wade. So we have a fight there also. But you had Kamala Harris offering to pay the bail of people who were locked up, who were rioting and burning down the cities during the riots several years ago.
And yet comes out and blatantly supports the killing of our young.
That's right.
It's amazing how a woman could be a mother, would want to crucify her children like that with impunity just for her own selfish gain. But that seems to be what the Associated Press now is telling us is the trajectory of American life.
You know, I see it all the time on the street when we do outreach at the clinics. And in years past, we did a lot of outreach at the universities and high schools.
Mm-hmm.
Just the trajectory of the way people are thinking now, more and more often being taught with more of a liberal, humanistic, secularist worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand completely why the pendulum is swinging that way. And I can't see it stopping unless there's real revival, repentance in the church, and the church being active in going out and confronting the world, exposing the hidden works of darkness.
And yet, to a certain extent, that's what you've been doing. You've been trying to do it in love, but you have been doing it, and it comes as a rock of offense to many, particularly abortion clinics. What actually have you been doing in that regard?
Well, as far as our daily, day-to-day ministry, we do outreach at abortion clinics in Richmond and Charlottesville, sharing the gospel, offering practical help. If a lady's there who has a need, we offer to meet whatever need they have that would lead them there so that they wouldn't have to kill their child.
Mm-hmm.
And also sharing the gospel. We've been doing that for about 30 years.
Have you been standing in the way of people and barricading them walking?
No. The normal practice would be on a public sidewalk and trying to interact with them as they drive in, or calling out across the parking lot, asking them to come to you to speak.
All right. And so how many people would engage in these outreaches?
Well, we normally have anywhere from 2 to 12
uh-huh.
Each day we're out.
All right. And what kind of response do you get from those, the ladies and or their friends that are leading them like the Pied Piper to the slaughter over the cliff?
Well, you have the full gamut. Just recently, we've been having about a baby every week being saved recently.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some really good successes where girls come and don't realize or don't realize there's help available. They feel like they're, backed against the corner and there's no way out
mm-hmm.
except to do this. And when they're offered help and they see there's someone who cares about them and loves them, very often they will decide not to take their baby's life. And we've been mm-hmm. seeing that quite a bit lately. Some great stories.
Yeah. And how does that make you feel when that happens?
Well, that's what it's all about. It makes you feel great when you see some of the fruit of your labors.
All right. Now, why do you feel like what you're doing is the Lord's work?
Well, the Bible says you shall not murder. And in Proverbs, it tells us to rescue those who are
appointed to die.
Slaughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's your motivation, the motivation of your heart. There aren't a whole lot of people doing that, are there?
There are more and more. There aren't nearly as many as there should be. I mean, the body of Christ ought to be active in all areas and be living sacrificial lives. And ministry is needed in a lot of areas, but this is a hole in the wall that many clinics don't even have any believers standing there pleading for the life of the unborn.
Yeah, yeah.
So there needs to be more people in this area.
And now the pregnancy crisis centers often are led by Christians.
Right.
And right here in Richmond, Virginia, where you and I live in this area, there is a wonderful crisis pregnancy center. But the accusations that come from the abortion industry are so ridiculous. It's as if these crisis pregnancy centers are abusing women.
Yeah.
How do they get by with that kind of attitude, that language?
Well, father of lies is their father. Well, the crisis pregnancy centers also, and what we do, we're two different battles on
mm-hmm,
the same front,
mm-hmm.
different clientele. The girls we would interact with are not the ones that go to the crisis pregnancy center.
Right.
We would interact with them in the last half hour of that child's life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a competing ministry. It works together.
It's an adjunct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and how long have you been doing this, Denny?
Since
It seems like all my lifetime before I even got to Richmond, I think.
Yeah, I think 89 was the first time I went out on the street.
Yeah, okay, just before God called us to leave Southern California and come to Richmond, Virginia. Okay, so you've been doing this now. Is it in just one location? Is it in a number of locations? What?
Well, I myself do outreach at two of the Planned Parenthoods in Richmond. Mm-hmm. There are actually five freestanding killing centers in the Richmond area. And some of our team does the others. And then I also go to the Planned Parenthood in Charlottesville every mm-hmm. Friday.
Now, you called them killing centers. That's
sure,
That's a pretty direct term. Why do you feel free to just call them that instead of some euphemistic term?
I guess because I believe in reality. You know, I don't believe a man's a woman, a woman's a man, or you know, that there's flowers and roses and, you know, painted faces when you talk about abortion. It is the intentional taking of a human life.
Yes.
The heartbeat has stopped. You know, it is killing, so let's call it what it is.
Yeah, and, of course, if they can't get them easily, then they just dismember them. And if you were to dismember someone who was outside the womb, you would be charged with the most heinous of crimes. So why is it you think that we've been willing as Americans to see the tearing up of a body in the womb as somehow sacrosanct from the contrary thing, almost identical thing, outside the womb, dismembering a person for your own pleasure?
Well, some of it is out of sight, out of mind. And I would also say that it's just the coldness of not just Americans worldwide, but it's the coldness of our American hearts,
mm-hmm.
where if we don't see it, it doesn't affect me right now, then it's just not a big deal. We like to turn that switch off in our brains that it's truly a human life. And when you have good conversations with some people and make them think, very often it'll click, they'll understand. But it's so easy and convenient just not to think and not to care.
Well, I remember Barack Obama very openly and notoriously making the statement, I believe it was on national television, that he wouldn't want any of his two daughters to have to carry a baby they didn't want. So
yeah.
Basically what he was doing is putting his blessing in advance upon abortion. And I don't quite understand how a father, how a man, or how a mother can have such a cavalier attitude.
Yeah, it's hard to understand, but that's where we're at in as our nation today.
All right. Now, you were arrested in Nashville. Why were you in Nashville with this group of people? That was outside the Richmond, Virginia area. Why were you in Nashville?
Well, it was actually a suburb of Nashville, Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and mm-hmm. there was a rescue, which is where a number of people, believers, will go and sit down in front of the doors of one of the killing centers, pray, worship, and just keep put our bodies between the killer and the victim. It's a Christian doctrine of interposition. So we would do that to keep the clinic closed so that there's more time for our counselors to speak with the ladies waiting to go in. And just about every time people, when you have more time with a lady in crisis and they understand it's not as much of a crisis as they think it is, there is help. They can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they change their minds. So it's to buy time for the babies.
I see.
And that's what we were doing.
So you were actually parked right in front of the access to the clinic.
Yes, we were on the second floor of a medical building in front of the doors of the place that killed children.
Yeah, okay.
For about 2 to 3 hours.
So you weren't out on a public sidewalk?
No, not during a rescue.
All right. So this is the reason why you were arrested under the FACE Act then?
Correct.
Okay. Because you were obstructing the entrance to the facility, correct?
That is correct.
All right. We'll pick up on that after this break, friends. We've laid the foundation now, and what we want to see is how things went from there. The trial, the conviction, and then what Denny Green had to say to the judge. You don't want to miss it. Be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. Today we're talking about something that has to be very painful in the mind and heart of God, the God who gave us life. As Thomas Jefferson said, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. But what if life is taken? Then there's no liberty. So for the 65 plus million babies that were killed by their parents, their doctors, and some even with the approval of their pastors and so on, even the encouragement of their pastors, where is the liberty that we say we pledge ourselves to? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where is that? Apparently, it just goes bye-bye when we don't want life to come out of our womb. And yet, that's exactly what God designed the womb for, to produce life. In fact, God even told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth, to go in and have kids and be fruitful and multiply. So what happened? It used to be that people would want to have a lot of kids. But now the whole idea is to have as few as possible. In fact, we're having so few kids in the United States and more in Europe and so on that it's not even able to sustain the population. And whether or not you believe it, the whole issue with Social Security and why it is in such deep trouble is because the children that were expected to be born in this country were killed intentionally by their moms and their dads, their grandparents, their doctors, and their pastors. That's why. And so statistically, the system couldn't maintain itself. So you think it's a political issue that somebody wants to control and diminish Social Security? No. Americans are doing that to themselves and have been doing that since 1973. Purposely. Without any sense of consequence, whether before God or man. Now that's the truth, my friend. But today before us is Denny Green. He has been a trooper in this area, feeling God's mantle upon his shoulders to lead a number of people with regard to helping young women, whatever, however young, to realize that they have options and that killing their children is not wise, it's not of God, and that they will be very sorry in the future. So, as we laid in the first half of the program, Denny was arrested together with a number of other folk there outside Nashville a couple of years ago. And his matter came to trial. When was the trial, Denny?
That was in January this year.
Okay. So why did it have to be so long?
Well, actually, there were 10 defendants.
Ah.
And so there had to be 10 different lawyers and the court that could have their docket open for us to have a trial that would last possibly up to 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
Okay. So, yeah, getting into a busy court and 10 defendants, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of court trial time, a lot of expenditure of we the people in tax money to try to bring to conviction people that are trying to save life and keep people from killing our children, just to put it in perspective. So, you and all of those with you were found guilty of something, weren't you?
That's correct.
And what were you found guilty of?
Well, violating the FACE Act and also conspiracy against civil rights.
Conspiracy against civil rights?
Yeah.
I don't know how you conspire against civil rights. I thought you conspired against people. But anyway, that's what they said.
Yeah.
So then you had to come to sentencing. How long? It was what, 6 months before sentencing then?
Something like that, yes. Around
all right.
That.
So it was a week ago that you went before the court. You and your wife, Ruthie, and were any of your kids there?
11 of them were there, along with a number of grandchildren.
Wow. Okay. So you had a full complement there.
Yes.
To witness their father being legally executed, shall we say, under color of law. So you were facing, what, up to 10 years?
10 and a half.
10 and a half years. And your ultimate conviction and sentencing was for what?
Well, I was found guilty, or said to be guilty.
Yeah.
And I received 6 months house arrest and 3 years probation.
All right.
It could have been much worse.
Oh, yeah.
They should have given us the key to the city and patted us on the back for doing the job of the police officers in saving life. But that's what I ended up with.
Yeah, yeah. And was that the case for many of those that were with you?
Well, so far, only 4 of us have been sentenced. One of them, Cal Zastro, got 6 months in federal prison. He was one of those who helped organize the event, so they came down harder on him.
Uh-huh.
And then 2 others received probation and some house arrest.
Did you detect any particular attitude from the judge concerning all this?
Well, you know, she out of the judges we could have had, according to my attorney who argues cases in that court, he said that he was glad it was this judge. Out of all the judges, he saw her as the fairest. There was some animosity, statements she would make when responding to different motions, some things she would say. But in the end, I'm glad it was her, not someone more liberal, you know, putting us away for a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she made it very clear politically, as far as her religious, I don't know if she has any religious beliefs. But she differs with us greatly.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, she's a traditional Democrat liberal in the country.
Yeah, she was also a Clinton appointee.
Ah, okay. Well, that tells us quite a bit. So in any event, you're standing before there with sentencing. Tell us how you and your wife, Ruthie, and your family dealt with this as you were facing after the conviction. Now what? You could be looking at 10 and a half years. You could be looking at 4 years in prison. That would be a devastating thing for your family, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, Chuck, it's kind of funny. People ask me that. I've had perfect peace throughout it. Joy, peace. I haven't been stressed. Just trusting the Father. Not that I would want to be away. I still have children at home. We have 5 at home, a special needs son. I wouldn't want to be going to prison, but... You know, all throughout our Christian history, people have had to suffer for living what they believe and serving God and saving lives. And you know, if it happened to be my turn, then that's what I signed up for when I gave my life to Jesus. So I was at peace, and whatever happened, I was going to be rejoicing.
Well, I detected that in all my different conversations with you, Denny. I never sensed any kind of hand-wringing or anything like that. But you did have to make some kind of preparations. What did you do? Since you didn't even know what was going to happen, you could have been carried away right there and be gone for years.
Yeah, we had to work on, we have a separate house that I had built a while back, and we had to get that ready to get a renter in it. And our basement and our house, we did some renovations to try to get it so we could rent that out in case I was in prison so my wife could have some income.
Yeah.
Because that would shut down my income.
Sure.
Or her income.
Yeah.
So just preparations that way in the event that I was taken away.
All right. And how was your, how did Ruth, your wife, respond to all this? There's quite a bit of anxiety there, or was she at the same level of peace you were?
Probably she was at peace, but there was more anxiety there, I think, than it was for me.
Sure.
She would express it a bit, but she also was trusting the Father and accepting whatever happened is something we had to go through, and loving Jesus throughout it.
Well, a mutual friend of ours, Philip Zodiades, ended up spending 2.5 years in prison, not over abortion, but over a similar kind of an issue.
Yep.
He is going to be joining us here before too long, not today, but before too long, to talk about what happened there. It was a national case. And so I have a question for you. Since I have just come out with a brand new book that's going to be coming out actually in August, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, do you consider what happened with you persecution against Christians?
Yeah. You know, it's the funny thing is throughout the world, when Christians are persecuted, the world is not going to see it as such, and they'll brand it as something different.
Mm-hmm.
When a Chinese underground church pastor is persecuted, they might charge him with sexual misconduct to have that bad stigma.
Yeah.
Of course, he's not guilty of it. And but with us basically living out our Christian life, loving the least of these, rescuing babies, they don't charge us with that. They're going to charge us with whatever else.
Yeah.
Trespass, conspiracy. So
so it doesn't look like persecution, but it's persecution under color of law.
Right. Sometimes when you got to live for Jesus, you'll get in trouble with the state, when the state is against the word of God.
Yeah. And when we're talking about the abortion issue, we're not, from your perspective, we're not talking about something of a political nature, although it is. We're talking about something of a spiritual nature that's been made political, aren't we?
That's right. That's right. That's right. The government, just because it talks about something, doesn't make it political. And, you know, God has a lot to say about the shedding of innocent blood long before the American Constitution was written.
Well, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 59, God, through Isaiah, said, "Your fingers are defiled with blood."
Right.
"And your mouths are muttering perverseness. I'm not even going to hear your prayer," he said.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so God has a viewpoint on this. And do you have any sense that this issue that seems to be not settled now, but actually increasing because the will of the people is calling for unfettered abortion, do you have any sense that this is going to affect God's willingness to bring some sort of protection or blessing upon our country?
Well, I think his willingness to bring judgment upon our nation is well established because of the wicked hearts that we have, that we've allowed this for so long. And this child killing is just one thing. So I don't see any reason for God to pour his blessings on an unrepentant nation.
In fact, he says in his word he won't do it. Jeremiah, yeah. Isaiah, Ezekiel, God says, no, don't even pray for this people. Now, that sounds strange, but that's what God said. We'll be right back after this when our guest says, "Your Honor."
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
How do you address authority respectfully when that authority represents something totally contrary to Christian belief, totally contrary to the practices of even medical reality, that has virtually a reprobate mind, that is bought into ideas about children, about killing young people, about killing children in the womb, that so desecrate the very creation ordinance of God, how do you address with respect such a judge? Well, that's what we want to talk about in the next few minutes right here on Viewpoint with our special friend Denny Green, who appeared before the judge there outside Nashville last week. It begins with Your Honor. Now, before we go into this, and I'm going to read the thing directly, it's profound, my friends. You want to hear it, every word of it. But, Denny, how did you feel as before you stood before that judge, before you delivered this little address?
Well, I have been praying for a while that the Father would give me truth to speak without any fear or intimidation, because I wanted my one chance to speak to the judge, and I wanted to say what the Father would have me say.
Right.
So at that point in time, I had a peace. Mm-hmm. I was at rest.
Yeah. Okay, so as we read this message that Denny gave to the judge, what's really happening now, friends, is that it's being multiplied on the air, and it will be multiplied the more so as you share it with others. You see, what Denny said to the judge, you may be the instrument to get it before an awful lot of other people to make a difference. So here it is, Your Honor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. As I begin, I feel compelled to make a correction to something said during my fellow defendant's sentencing yesterday and earlier today. It was stated that the belief the defendants hold that life begins at conception is based upon their religious beliefs. This is not so. This is not a belief based on religion, but rather based on biology. Every high school and college textbook states the same. This is established science. What does differ between our beliefs and those of secularists is that, in our view, the life conceived has intrinsic value and is worthy of our nurture and protection. I know you said you don't want us to be preachy, and you don't want to hear a sermon, so I will do my best. It's just that the scriptures are central to our lives and guide what we do. We find ourselves in a nation that has lost its way, a nation that defends and protects the murder of its own children by wicked laws. We live in a nation that seeks to lock away its citizens, who won't stand by and let innocent children be dismembered. We become a people repulsive in the sight of God, a people who shake their puny fists in the face of a holy, righteous God while imagining that they have any degree of moral authority to do so. The one true God has specifically in the scriptures given his people the command to rescue innocent people who are being taken to the slaughter. As Christians, we're compelled to obey God. Throughout history, there have been times when a nation loses its way and turns its back on the weak and vulnerable. Christians have always been at the forefront of rescuing those in danger of unjust persecution and death, even when the laws of their day allowed for such oppression and slaughter. Examples throughout history include rescuing abandoned babies in first century Rome, rescuing Jews from the Holocaust, rescuing fugitive slaves. We could cite example after example. Those who oppose the persecution of the weak and vulnerable are today applauded as heroes. I acted to save the lives of innocent babies who were scheduled to be butchered. I use that word very deliberately. This best describes what is happening to these babies. My conscience would not allow me to do otherwise on that day. We pray that our nation will once again return to sanity and protect the least of these most innocent image bearers of God by law. We committed the crime of treating innocent children as if they had value. We are prosecuted because we're politically incorrect, but biblically correct. Over the years, legal opinions change, but our founding documents remain the same. The Declaration of Independence states we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These self-evident truths, which are aligned with our Creator's revealed law, are no longer the basis of law in our nation's federal courts. This is not the same country our founders envisioned or created. Politics have taken the place of justice. The Declaration speaks of the unalienable right to life as being one of these self-evident truths. If someone has a heartbeat, they're obviously alive. That's self-evident. We refuse to prop up the charade that killing one's child is a civil or human right. The masses can loudly proclaim the obvious lie that the preborn are not persons, but there will always be those who won't play along with the deadly charade. We will act upon the self-evident truth that every child's life is valuable and worthy of protection, whether they reside in or out of the womb. Location doesn't determine value. God's word does. Men are appointed by God to be protectors of the innocent and vulnerable. A government that sanctions the murder of the weakest and most vulnerable of its members is a government that has abdicated its responsibility to protect its people. And this nation will answer to God for this neglect. When I chose to reject the plea offer you gave, it was because truth is important to me. My heart's desire to go home to my family to provide and care for them, including my wife and special needs son, who very much needs and depends upon me. To be a man of integrity, however, I must show that my first allegiance is to my God. I honestly have prayed for you often, Judge, and will continue. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Wow. Denny, I believe the Holy Spirit gave you utterance, even though it had to be prayed, had to be prepared in advance. There is nothing, as I see it, that is mean-spirited, nothing that is contrary to authority or not respectable to authority. On the other hand, it doesn't respect the authority as being right.
Right.
And boy, did you have to weave through a lot in order to get the whole message out there in plain, realistic technicolor so that even the judge could not mistake it. How did you feel when you completed that?
I was just glad I got through it without her stopping me.
Uh-huh.
She had stopped another brother who started speaking, and he started quoting some scripture, and she cut him short and says, I don't need a sermon, and she just cut him short. So actually, with each statement I'd make, I was just waiting for her to, Mr. Green, that's enough. But, you know, by God's grace, I was able to say what I had to say without her stopping, and she apparently was paying attention and listening.
Well, Denny, I hope that she'll continue to pay attention. Even the Holy Spirit can touch her heart after having listened to that, I think.
Amen.
All right. Now, where from here, Denny?
As far as my daily life, I am under house arrest now and have to answer to a probation officer, give reports every week where I'm going to be every minute of the day.
So, but, in other words, your wife is holding you, having to hold you accountable right there.
Yeah, now she has a punishment. But since my employment as a minister includes reaching out to the clinics, I'm still able to go out and share the gospel at the abortion clinics.
Really?
As part of my employment with Life and Liberty Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of business as usual as far as the ministry is concerned, just not much free time away from the home other than that, doctor's appointments and church services.
So if anyone wanted to step up to the table and bless you as a result of your stand here, how would they do that? How do they connect with Life and Liberty Ministries?
I can give you my email. On Facebook, it's Dennis Green, Life and Liberty Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Our email is lifeandliberty66@gmail.com.
Life and Liberty.
66.
66. At what?
Gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Okay. And your commitment at Life and Liberty Ministries is to continue to reach out to women who are finding themselves in stressful situations, seeking to give up the life of their children. Is there any place where you find yourself recommending or counseling, say, adoption?
Well, you know, I used to run a maternity home, and we had girls stay with us, and we had a few that did choose adoption, and we offer that to girls going to abortion clinics. The sad reality is, I've probably heard it a dozen times, mm-hmm. when you bring that up, what comes back at you is, there's no way I'll carry this baby for 9 months and give it away.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, they kill it.
In other words, if they wanted to get rid of their baby because they didn't want a baby, then why should I go through it and give it up for adoption?
Yeah. And there's so many resources. There's lists of people, and people have called us and said, hey, here's my name. If you find a girl that, you know, wants to her baby be adopted, we're here. There's no shortage of parents willing to love those children.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That is very true. So as you look and have chatted with our friend Philip Zodiades, who actually was incarcerated for 2.5 years in a federal prison, what conclusions have you come up as between the two of you regarding the issue of persecution of Christians under color of law?
Well, both in his case and our case, everything had to do with politics. The government stance on, in his case, with homosexuality, and my case with the killing of the preborn. So, you know, when you have the gun and the badge, sometimes you can push your agenda, even when it's wrong, immoral, unjust, and illegal.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with him and me. We were basically doing the job that the government has been commissioned by God to do. And
so you were doing the job the government was commissioned by God to do, but they are reneging on because of the spiritual rebellion that is now driving our government and law.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm-mm. So would you say that what happened to you and to others in a similar kind of situation was very similar to what the Apostle Paul describes as the consequence of a reprobate mind developing in our country?
Sure, absolutely. And along with that, the reason Paul and Peter were persecuted was just because they loved Jesus and wanted to serve their fellow man.
Yeah.
It's not outrageous and crazy, as in Philip's case, to want to rescue an abused child, or in our case, keep a child from being decapitated. That's just part of Christianity 101.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, the Christians in ancient Rome did just that. They went in when Rome was willing to put their babies out on the steppe and let them die. The Christians would come in and take care of them. They would take care of people who were injured, people who were sick, that Rome saw no value in. And that's how, for 200 years, God began to get the attention of Rome, because the Christians were Christians.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yep.
Well, we all have unique callings, and you have never shrunk. You did not shrink from your responsibility as an ambassador for Christ. It wasn't all in terms of preaching at people. It was about being there and in the opportunity, when the opportunity arose, to speak on behalf of the Lord, to be his hand extended in that certain place. Not everybody is called to that particular and unique calling. And I got to hand it to you, Daddy. You're a gentleman, a scholar, a wonderful brother, a faithful servant, a good father and husband. And that's the reason why for years and years and years we have worked to supply your ministry with the books and so on that could be used to generate the necessary income that you could use to keep this ministry going. Again, his website, friends, is lifeandliberty66@gmail.com. That's lifeandliberty66@gmail.com. And I urge you to tell other people about this particular program today. Have them listen specifically for hearing the message to the judge, Your Honor. Remember, God, as the Father said, if I be a father, where's my honor? Thanks for joining us. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.